The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
The next guest, our next guest, maker of the types of clothes we've all been living in over the past year, and truth be told, activewear, athleisure wear, it has really become a staple in many of our closets, not just in the past year, but really over the past few years. Joe Kudla knows all about that. He's founder and CEO at Vuori, and he joins us on the phone from California. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing great, Carol. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's nice to have you here. Tell us about the past year for you and what it's like. Take us back to March of 2020 and what was kind of going on in your world.
Well, it's been a roller coaster. I'll never forget March 13th. We gathered our leadership team together and we decided we needed to close our stores. We had 5 retail stores at the time. We were getting calls from a lot of our wholesale partners saying, hold shipments, don't send us any more inventory. And by the way, we don't think we can pay our bills. And so it was a rough time. You know, we made some tough decisions. You know, at the time we decided to keep all of our, we had over 50 retail employees. We decided to keep them fully employed with the company and reinvest in training. But I was so proud with how our team came together in that time. And we got really creative and we thought about how can we make this business better during this momentary pause. And what we found out was that there was a big gravitation towards comfortable clothing. And we were very fortunate to benefit from that. So it was a bit of a roller coaster at the beginning, a lot of worry, a lot of doubt about what was going to happen. And then we learned quickly that our customer was coming to us. They trusted us for delivering really comfortable clothes during a pretty tough and traumatic time.
I'm guilty for those comfortable clothes. Working from home for, 8 months for me or so, a lot of yoga wear and the like. Tell me about some of the metrics. I had read somewhere that you guys nearly tripled your revenue last year. Is that right? Or give me some idea of the metrics you saw.
Yeah, we did. We came in the year to with a plan to double the business. And before we were really close to riding it to zero, as were a lot of folks, in that early March timeframe. But we learned that there was, that big gravitation towards our category. And we ended up tripling our business with a large majority of that being direct to consumer. And so hats off to our team, hats off to our supply chain for being able to react so quickly to meet the demand.
What was your supply chain like? Because that's something that we've had a lot of conversations about over the past year, where we know when it came to certainly some of those essentials, it was difficult. But what was your supply chain like during the pandemic?
Well, we're fortunate to have great partners. So I'll first say that, but it was challenged, one day we called our factory partners and we said, look, guys, we need to hold all new production until we get a better picture of what was going to happen. And literally 2 weeks later, we called them and asked them to triple the volume of production. And so, we were working with everybody from our textile mills all the way through to our cut and sew factories to manage capacity in kind of an ever-changing environment. You know, 1 minute we thought we were on one trajectory, and then the next minute we would get more data, putting more demand and pressure on supply chain. But we were able to rise to the occasion. And I think part of that was because we had adopted nimble supply chain models that where we partner with some of our vendors to manage inventory and to meet that kind of fluctuation in demand.
Hey, listen, we've got about 45 seconds and I've got to do a little bit of news and we'll come back. But I just want to just quickly get your thoughts and we continue with this. But this idea that you guys, you launched as a men's brand, then you focused on women, you launched your first women's collection in 2018. How productive, fruitful was that pivot ultimately for you guys during the pandemic? And just quickly.
It's turned out to be fantastic. Women's today represents almost half of our business.
Wow. That's a quick ramp up.
Very quick ramp up. You know, we're famous for soft fabrics and women kept wearing our men's clothing and asking us to do something meaningful for them. And it was only natural that we enter the women's market.
So Joe, a friend of mine, when saw that we were having you on, they're like, really cool guest. I hear their joggers are the best. Tell me what's going on with jogger sales, because this has been a big momentum play for you guys.
The Jogger has been an incredible product across all channels of distribution. But yeah, we've become famous for the jogger. And I think it's a combination of great fit and comfort. Comfort being king this past year. We have a famous fabric called the Dream Knit, and our Dream Knit textile, it's a technical fabric. It's brushed very uniquely to give it this incredibly soft hand. And once you put them on, you have a hard time taking them off.
From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.
So where do you go with all of this? And I think about, I've been doing yoga for 20 years, and yoga clothes have gone from, you know, tie-dyed yoga pants to they actually look pretty nice with a jacket. And it's pretty amazing how like this stuff has evolved and has infiltrated kind of our regular wardrobe. How do you continue to see the evolution of your brand and the type of offerings that you put out there?
Yeah, that's a great question. I really feel that part of the reason Vuori's been successful is we've intentionally tried to blur the lines between fitness clothing and everyday life clothing. And I really feel that the term athleisure is just going to evolve into clothing. I think some of the best sportswear or everyday clothing, whether you're wearing it around the house or you're traveling or you're going to the office, I think a lot of that product is being made and conceived today by activewear brands. And I think that a lot of our offering, you know, is extending beyond product you're just going to take to the gym, but it's product that, you know, you'll travel in, you'll wear to the office. It's clothes that you'll go hike and be active outdoors in. And it's just transitioning into, you know, clothing. It's the new definition of clothing because it's more comfortable, it moves with your body, and it just functions better.
How are you, and you guys write about sustainability on your website. That's a big deal. And we have been increasingly, certainly on our program here, looking at the fashion industry and the use of water and, you know, what it does to our environment. You guys are focusing on recycled and also organic materials. You're committed to 80% sustainability in terms of your materials by 2022. It's a big part of your ethos. Does it cost more? Tell me about getting there, because we are increasingly seeing more and more companies doing it. Is it hard to do it? Is it costlier? Tell me about that.
It costs money, so it requires investment. But we believe it's a great ROI, but that's not the reason for doing it. We did it because the natural world was what inspired the brand, and we want to make sure we're doing everything we can to protect it. And so, yes, you mentioned 80% recycled and organic materials by 2022. We're on path to meet that goal. But we also invested in a lot of different green initiatives to offset 100% of our carbon footprint for the past 2 years. That requires dollars to do that. We're also investing in going plastic neutral. So we calculate all the plastic that we put into the environment, and we take equal, if not more, plastic out of the ocean. So all of these require effort. They require energy, they require dollars, but we believe it's the right thing to do. And, you know, building a brand in alignment with a value system is really important to us, and I think it's really important to our customers as well.
And where do you mostly manufacture?
We work with a supply chain that's global at this point. Mm-hmm. Asia, Cambodia, Vietnam, Sri Lanka. So we're diversified globally.
Well, and it's interesting, and I do wonder, too, about that's certainly part of the ESG kind of framework that we are increasingly looking at when it comes to companies and certainly investments. Are you gearing towards places where workers are treated more equitably and get a fair wage?
100%.
Okay.
We have a whole sourcing team that spends a lot of time on our code of conduct and being very clear with the value system that we expect our factories to operate within. And it's exciting because the more brands that are taking this next step in terms of ESG, the more the supply chain is being responsive, because the best factories in the world want to work with the best brands, if the best brands are caring about this stuff, then they are as well. And so the more energy, the more we vote with our dollars, the more the factories pay attention. And so we're not only demanding it, but we're also seeing some of the best factories coming to us with really cool new programs. Mm-hmm. And that's really inspiring to see.
Yeah, definitely interesting to hear. And it is inspiring. Hey, one thing I wanted to ask you, after a year of many of us being kind of casual, I'm still wearing also some jeans at work. I do change for when I have to be on air. But there is a thing, we talk about revenge buying where everybody can't wait to spend money. But there is also something like sweatpant fatigue that you guys are noticing. How is that shifting maybe some of the things that you want to put up in terms of product offerings in the next few months, especially as the world reopens?
Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, we are already seeing our product focus evolve. Sweatpants are still growing for us as a category, but mm-hmm. its contribution to the overall business is shrinking. So we're seeing people move into athletic shorts, you know, our technical sportswear for traveling, products that you can wear on the golf course or to the office. They're trending really strong right now. And we don't see that slowing down. But I don't think in general the movement towards healthy, active living is going anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I believe that the clothing that we make is very much aligned and supports that lifestyle. And so while the products that we buy might evolve a little bit out of, say, kind of sweatpants for lying on the couch into other forms of activewear, I think in general people are still looking for comfort, versatility, and performance.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think people are whittling down too and really want kind of a wardrobe that just makes sense with kind of who they are and their work. All right, so what's next? Just got about 45 seconds. Are you guys going to stay private? Do you want to go public? There's a lot of money out there. There's SPACs. Is that part of the timetable at all in the next year or so? Just quickly.
You know, we're paying attention. We're getting educated on the public market, but you know, we have not made any kind of statement or initiative to move in that direction at this point. We're so focused on growing the business. The business is going to double again this year. Wow. We're getting to a pretty sizable scale. We have 450 employees. And so we have our work cut out for us, building kind of a back-end engine that can support the front. And we're very excited about what we're doing with our product pipeline. We're going to be expanding nationally with our VRE retail stores. And continuing to invest in sustainability. So we have our work cut out for us.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Hey, listen, do come back because I'd love to hear how things progress throughout 2021. Great to check in with Joe Kudla. He is the founder and CEO at Vuori, joining us on the phone from California.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.